Welcome to the With You Always podcast, brought to you by Sushipe, the online community information platform for disciples. Here we invite followers of Jesus Christ to share reflections and wisdom from the journey. Our hope is to instill a recognition that God is indeed with us always. Today, Trish Irvine from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, shares what God is doing in her life.
Welcome to the With You Always podcast, brought to you by Come Follow Me, where we invite followers of Jesus Christ to share reflections and wisdom from the journey. Our hope is to instill a recognition that God is indeed with us always. I'm Trish Irvine, and today I'll be sharing with you what God has been doing in my life. Over a decade ago, I rode on a bus for a few hours and then disembarked, walking through a gate that had the words above it saying, "Work brings freedom," but in German. We were taken on a trip to see Auschwitz in Poland. And as we walked through the concentration camp and saw the gates and saw the fences and the barbed wire, we listened as our tour guide explained the process of how people would arrive and then what they would go through. And we saw places that they had preserved to be able to show us the conditions of what it was like at the concentration camp. But perhaps the most striking thing to me was this one hall in one of the buildings. It had the pictures of the people who had been in the concentration camp, and it was a picture that was taken when they arrived there. And the dates were kept meticulously. It had the date they came to the camp, and then, usually not that long later, was listed the date that they died. And I was so moved by the faces of these humans. When you hear numbers, thousands, millions, my brain can't comprehend what that means, but my brain can comprehend the look in that particular person's face. And to see photo after photo, some people already crying, some people being really, really stoic, maybe even disbelieving what was happening. And the group that I was with, we walked around the concentration camp, and it was winter, and so there was snow. It was cold and bleak, and we're just praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Kind of because we didn't know what else to do when confronted with the reality of what humans can do to other humans. And then, providentially, they put us back on a bus, and they drove us not too far away to the Divine Mercy Shrine. We prayed at the tomb of St. Faustina, and we prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And we were able to see this entire place that was dedicated to remembering the profound mercy that God has on humanity. And although we chronologically did it in reverse, it was so beautiful to see that God was preparing his people, particularly the Polish people, for the depravity that was to come. And so he gives us this firm reminder of his divine mercy, which shows this is God's way. This is how God desires to reconcile the world with himself. And then we see what humans do when left unchecked by any sense of goodness. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. The readings for today on Divine Mercy Sunday point to this similar preparation that God has had throughout history. We have the responsorial psalm, "Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His mercy endures forever. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And for the gospel, we have Doubting Thomas, right, who's not present when the Lord appears to the disciples. When they tell Thomas about the Lord's appearance, he says that he won't believe unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side. A week later, they're gathered again together. Jesus comes and is in their midst. And then he tells Thomas to do the very thing that Thomas said he would need to do if he were to believe that Jesus had really risen from the dead and had really appeared to them. Jesus understands his humanity, right? He understands the disbelief. And he's giving them this mercy, this opportunity to be with him again before he ascends to the Father, to solidify their faith, right? To prepare them for the difficulties that are to come as they will travel and preach the gospel with great boldness, but also as they will experience profound persecution and then for nearly all of his followers, martyrdom, or at the least exile, indefinite interior martyrdom. We see the same thing with divine mercy and Auschwitz. God always prepares us for what's to come. He's always generous in giving us his mercy. And even from the most awful things we can imagine, he brings goodness and truth and beauty. God becomes one of us, and we crucify him. But from this, he brings new life, new hope. And we see from the suffering in concentration camps and gulags that many saints have arisen whose stories inspire us to live more fully for the Lord. Strictly speaking, this divine mercy doesn't make sense. We kill God, and then we ask him to have mercy on us because of his son's death. But the beautiful, amazing, incomprehensible thing is that God does. That's the wideness of his mercy. That's the greatness of his love. That's what I need to accept into those areas of my heart that I'm keeping sealed off from him, that I think are too much for him to handle. The Lord wants us to bring to him everything in our hearts, the good, the bad, the ugly, the unfulfilled, the longings, the confusion, the questions, to bring it all to him and to just let him pour his abundant mercy over it. Because from the ashes, he raises us to new life. Let us pray. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.
Hi everyone, my name is Eric Gallagher, the founder of Sushipe, the online community and formation platform for disciples. I wanted to take a moment to thank you for listening and also to encourage you to check out our online community at sushipe.co. That's SUSCIPE.co. At Sushipe.co, we're constantly offering free book studies, self-guided mini retreats, opportunities for family fun, prayer, and more. If you're interested in engaging with a community of individuals who are desiring to grow deeper in their spiritual lives, check out Sushipe.co and get involved today.